She spent years treating her food choices as an afterthought, eating relatively healthy here and there, but also growing up in the SlimFast era and constantly battling a major sweet tooth. It really wasn't until she started going through perimenopause and actually put on a few pounds that she realized her nutrition needed a lot more of her attention. Julie Gordon-White is joining us on the show today. She is the founder and CEO of MenoWell, which creates energy and protein bars specially formulated for women through their menopause journey. Her story is extremely relatable on so many levels, and she has become one of my most favorite people. I look up to her a lot, and I can't wait for you to meet Julie and hear her nutrition story. Being 40 or older can be a struggle with new pains and less energy. If you're determined to be strong, energetic, and feeling great for many years to come, this show is for you. No extremes, just doable self-care tips that will change your life. I'm your host, Megan Dahlman. Let's jump in. Well, Julie, you are in your 50s now. And I know perimenopause is a little bit in your rear view mirror, but what do you wish you knew? If you could go back and say, could someone have told me this? What do you wish you knew about perimenopause when you were in your 40s?
Wow, Megan. Do we have 2 hours for this conversation or just one? Okay. I'll try not to use up all the time. I knew nothing. My mom had a hysterectomy. So for some reason, she didn't think she really needed to talk to me about menopause or perimenopause. And so I just distinctly remember sitting at my, I can see it like it was yesterday, sitting at my desk thinking, what is wrong with my brain? I cannot keep a sentence together. I'm typing. I keep having to read this over and over. There's still mistakes. And then when I check it, I send it, then I read it again. I sent it with mistakes. What is wrong with me? So that was my first thing that was like, what? Not okay. I'm scared. Like, do I have Alzheimer's early onset? Like, that's really what I started to think. And then kicked in the night sweats. Oh my goodness. Soaking wet every single night. And so I wish that my mom, a friend, a sister, a doctor, hello, a neighbor, I don't even care. Somebody told me about the top perimenopause symptoms that start to happen in our 40s and we don't know what's happening. So they feel really, really scary. That's where it started for me.
Well, and the brain fog thing, that seems to be this consistent experience for a lot of women going through perimenopause. And I don't know, maybe it's because it's affecting our brains that we have a hard time making that connection to our physical health.
Oh, that's a good point. Because we can't think, Okay,
we're not thinking clearly. And we start to catastrophize and think it's the worst case scenario. And I know for yourself as a high level entrepreneur, someone who has been, you know, in the business world for so many years as an executive and functioning in these professional settings, that had to have been so frustrating for yourself.
Very, and potentially catastrophic, you know, not to catastrophize, but My two companies before this company were related to selling companies, so mergers and acquisitions, and then coaching women entrepreneurs where financial statements are an important part of the conversation every single day. So to not be able to keep the numbers straight, not be able to analyze financials in the same way that I could, or just having to work really three times harder to get to the same point took longer. Just did not have that clarity, was pretty devastating, you know, really lowered my productivity significantly. So it was not good, Megan, not at all.
Did you ever have thoughts of maybe I can't do this anymore? Maybe I'm done.
No, I never think that way. That would never come across. It's more, how do I figure this out? I believe, you know, just in general, all things are puzzles, not problems, and they're all figure outable. So if you put those two things together, I just had to figure out, what on earth is going on with my brain?
So how were you able to put those pieces together and actually realize, oh, this is perimenopause?
Well, I started with my mom. Mom, what is going on? Why didn't you tell me? You know, what is this, first of all? And then she said, oh, because she didn't have the word perimenopause. So my mom is 82 now. So when we were talking about this, and I'm in my 40s, she's in her late 60s, the word perimenopause was not used. So she just called it menopause, but she reminded me, having a hysterectomy, she went from 0 to 100. And, but the big thing for her, she grew up in the generation of no hormone replacement therapy, period. No, never. So that's really what I got from her, was that, oh, you know, your hormones are changing and, but you can't do anything about it. We don't do that. So it was completely off the table as an option for me. Then I didn't really find that very helpful, to be honest. I love my mom, but that did not help me one bit. So I started asking my friends who are a little bit older, what is this about? And that's where I started to learn from their experience. Again, because I'm in my late 50s now, none of my friends had hormone replacement. Again, everybody struggled together. Actually, we struggled silently alone, I should say, but we were all in a struggle. Every last one of us. So
it seems like it's one of those things, like the moment one lady in the circle mentions something, everyone else's ears perk up and they're like, wait a minute, you too.
Yes, exactly. And right. Why aren't we talking about it? It's silly.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that the conversation is starting to shift and put it into the light finally. And even that word, it never occurred to me that you're right. 10, 20, 30 years ago, we never even had the word perimenopause. So to think of it as this smaller second stage, and I guess it feels like a long time, and it can be a long time for a lot of women.
Well, it lasts forever, right? Once you're post for life, postmenopausal for life. Yeah.
I think we're postmenopausal for the majority of our life, to be honest, especially if we're doing if we're lucky and we're doing a good job taking care of our bodies. But that on ramp to menopause, the off ramp from menstruating and on ramp to menopause, it can take 10 years. And so you experienced hot flashes, you experienced brain fog. What other things did you kind of notice at that time? Were you experiencing any of the joint aches and pains or fatigue or weight gain that a lot of other women had felt?
Joint pain, no. Fatigue, maybe, but who knew? I had three kids, getting them up through junior high, high school, husband, dog, business. How do I figure out what was related to, you know, fatigue related to perimenopause or life, you know? So that's where we get all blurry on those things. But I tell you, and I'm a soldier on kind of person, but what stopped me in my tracks was the weight gain. And I don't know why it was that. Like, I could tolerate hot flashes. Okay, just, you know, unzip my jacket, go outside, do something. Brain fog, that was scary, but I kind of moved beyond that. But it was the weight gain that was not okay for me, for a couple of reasons. You know, I'm a short person. I'm 5'1". So an extra 10 pounds, not good. You know, it's here comes the belly right away. No place to hide it. That's not fun. And it just really impacted my confidence. I just felt off. I did not feel good. Maybe that's when I started feeling tired, but it was just more, I think I was kind of sad, not depressed, but the confidence was off because of the weight gain. So that's really what stopped me in my tracks.
And had your habits changed at all that you could notice?
Yes. I was eating way more sweets, and I'm a sweets person anyway. I tend to like choose a sweet over a savory. But my sugar cravings were terrible. I mean, just crazy. And now here we are sort of in COVID at that time. So my sons had come home back in the house, and I was cooking for them kind of like when they were home and making all the treats, and I'm eating all the treats. Not okay, but I just couldn't there was no stopper for me.
Gosh, that's the power of estrogen, right? When we have plenty of estrogen flowing through our system, it's a wonderful appetite suppressant. You're just not as hungry as you might normally be. And you don't have that sweets craving, and it doesn't take as much of a sweet to feel that sense of like dopamine and serotonin in your brain. And so when that estrogen starts to disappear,
take a dive,
right?
Yeah.
Your brain is like, give me all the things. And was this kind of the beginning of your journey towards thinking more about your nutrition and becoming far more passionate about how you ate? Was this kind of the beginning, or were you interested in it beforehand?
I've always been a dabbler in the space. I've always been interested, but my level of commitment skyrocketed at this time. So I would say yes. It's always kind of been in the back of my mind, only because I've, you know, at 5'1", I've always had to really think about what I eat. I've always been athletic. I've been a runner. You know, I've always been very active, but I would say recreationally active, because I'm always sitting at my desk all the time too. So that's a different thing. So I've always had to pay attention to my weight. So it's always been on my mind, but from a place of nutrition, right? There's weight management where, okay, I'm only going to eat a small amount of calories, but I'm going to include cookies in there or tacos or, you know, like whatever that thing that I knew the calories for, but I wasn't thinking about the nutritional impact of that food. So two really different thought processes. And it wasn't until perimenopause that my body called me back to nutrition and managing weight gain by feeding it the foods it actually needed, then it wouldn't be screaming all the time for stuff because it was nutritionally supported.
I want to park a second just on what you mentioned there of experiencing that shift from spending years of only thinking from this like calorie restrictive mindset around nutrition.
Yes.
And the shift you experience to highlighting the importance of the nutritional value, I think many women that are postmenopausal, maybe even years beyond, grew up in the diet culture era of slim fasts and spending their entire life on Weight Watchers.
And yes.
and really mentally struggle to get themselves out of that place where like, they're not obsessing about tracking their calories or thinking less is better. What was it for you that felt like, okay, I'm experiencing this shift to see that nutrients are actually what I need to think more about?
Well, you really nailed it on the...
Okay, stop for just a second. How are your fitness and nutrition habits right now? Like really? If I randomly showed up at your house today and watched how you ate, how your workouts were going, how you moved about the day, just how you took care of yourself, what would I be witnessing? Would you be proud or a little embarrassed? Okay, don't worry. I'm not showing up at your house. However, that little thought experiment is very revealing about what could use a little work. So if you could use some help to get yourself back on track and feel so much healthier, I have a free 5-day guide with simple daily challenges that I can deliver straight to your inbox. These include some nutrition tips, my favorite movements and stretches, and more that will really help you jumpstart some good habits. Super doable, nothing extreme, and it will get that ball rolling. And I want to give it to you for free. Okay. Just go to vigeofit.com/tips to sign up. That's vigeofit.com/tips, or you can hit up the link in the show notes and I will immediately send you the first day's healthy tips. You're going to love it.
Well, you really nailed it on the whole slim fast thing and Weight Watchers and points. And if I'm only eat 1,000 calories a day, because, you know, a caloric deficit is important in weight loss. And many of us do, you know, gain 90% of women in the stages of menopause gain 10 pounds or more. So let's acknowledge that aspect of it. But our approach to it needs to up level. And that's what happened for me, of just instead of having 3 cans of XYZ drink a day and a small salad, you know, that kind of thing, that's where I came from, to realizing that I needed to still, you know, not overeat for my size, not take in more energy than I was actually expending during the day, but I needed to do it in a way that here's the thinking that changed, Megan. The way I could eat for life, eat for longevity. This is how I make all my decisions now about what I eat and how I move my body. Can I do this at 101? I always say I want to be a sexy granny at 101. So that's my whole metric for making decisions, from movement to the food I eat. And no, I'm not going to be drinking 3 cans of yuck and eating a small salad to get to a healthy 100, sexy 101. And let me just say the sexy part. I'm not really trying to be too sexy, but the point being that kind of vibrant, you know, that vivacious, confident woman at 101. That's why I throw in the sexy part.
Yeah. And it's that shift that my heart just goes out to so many women right now that are just stuck. And they're like, I get what you're saying. I want to see that shift for myself and become more of a eat for life and be more intuitive about what I feed my body.
That's a tricky word.
It's so tricky.
No, intuitive is tricky though, because if our intuition told us for 40 years to eat less than 1200 calories, that's the intention, the intuition that we're building all this on. So we've got to really be intuitive, but from a new lens. Yeah.
I like that you said that. It's almost like we can't quite trust our instincts in this moment in time, because our instincts came out of a phase of life where we were focusing on the wrong thing about how we ate. So turning the attention and focusing on the right things. So what were some of those nutrients that you realized, I'm just not getting enough of these? And this is probably why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling.
Well, I was eating too many empty carbohydrates. Let me just say that. You know, a lot of pasta. I love pasta. Okay. I still love pasta, but, you know, not enough greens and not enough, for me, animal protein. Now, I am a plant-forward person, so I like to eat a lot more plants. My body is calmer in perimenopause. More plants, the better. You know, your body doesn't have to work so hard at digestion. So way more plants, but not skimping on the protein. Now, if you're a vegetarian or vegan, you can get protein in a lot of ways, but I would just not eat a lot of protein. I didn't like meat. I didn't like it, but it's really that I didn't like it, but I like pasta better, but I realized I wasn't getting enough protein. So I was never full. I was never satisfied. And I just had a lot of glucose in my body from all those simple carbs. And I just wanted more and more and more. So when I started focusing on eating a lot of green vegetables, not being afraid of a yummy salad, and I want to talk about the salad thing in a second, but eating a lot of greens and then prioritize protein at every meal. And that was a journey getting there. Because you have to, and this is what I want to allude to, you have to find the things that you like and not, otherwise it just doesn't happen. So when I started prioritizing a lot of greens and vegetables that I loved and protein that I loved, then things started to turn around and I wasn't craving all that stuff anymore. It started to take care of itself because I was actually providing nutrients for my body, not just calories.
So did you find that when you started eating more protein, more vegetables, and what I like to say, all my audience will know, eat your pros. That's like my mantra, protein, produce.
I know, your pros.
Eat your pros. It keeps it so mentally simple. When we're getting brain fog and we're like, I can't think about what I'm supposed to eat. It's just pros. So when you shifted to that, did you find that there were, like, maybe you didn't like salads? Or didn't like, I mean, you mentioned that you weren't a huge animal eater. So I hear this a lot from women where they're like, I just don't like vegetables. I hate vegetables, or I don't like eating meat. So how were you able to maybe overcome some of those sticking points of learning to fall in love with some of this food?
To be honest, you know, as human beings, we move away from pain and we go towards pleasure. That's just often how we make a change. We have to have something painful. And COVID was actually a big helper for me. I was very fortunate. You know, my family was healthy, but that was still in that same zone. And I decided if I was going to get sick, I wanted to be as healthy as possible in that journey. And fortunately, that overlaid with my perimenopause, menopause transition. So I would just offer that up, find that pain point for anyone and, you know, put a little squeeze on that if that helps you make a change. And that's just natural. So we don't have to be afraid of that. That's just how human nature works, moving away from pain towards pleasure. So I wanted to be healthy. I didn't want to be severely sick. So, now what does that mean? That means I have to find vegetables I love and keep it simple. So when I first started eating a lot of vegetables, I actually like broccoli. Now, maybe not everyone likes broccoli. And I started buying tons of bags of frozen broccoli because I would buy broccoli and then I wouldn't cook it and then it would get yucky. And then that's a bummer, right? So frozen, I ate a huge bowl of frozen broccoli every single day with shredded Parmesan cheese. I mean, you and I have talked about this. That's protein.
So wait, did you eat it frozen?
No. I cooked it. That would be a new, like, oh, I snack on frozen broccoli. No. Now I cook it and then I put Parmesan cheese on it, shredded, not the powdery kind, no judgment, but ew, the real shredded kind. And that's protein also, but that wasn't my protein source. But that made me start to absolutely love broccoli. So you have to find what you like. Make a beautiful salad with things that you like. I love beets, but I don't want that red stuff, you know, all over my kitchen. So I buy the, you know, the packaged beets that are so delicious, so nutrient dense. You can get yellow. You can find the things that you love. And pretty soon you start loving your vegetables. Get rid of the stuff you don't like. Find the ones you love. And there will be one or two, I promise.
I completely agree. And I think at this phase of life, we've spent so many years convincing ourselves that I just don't eat that, or I don't eat. I'm a picky eater. I won't try that, or I don't. And I know I have some other family members and other women in my life that are like, I won't touch peppers, or I won't eat that or that. It's like, well, have you tried it cooked this way? Or have you tried it prepared that way? And just, I'm hearing you say this is a great time to maybe be adventurous with your food and try something new.
Or question our beliefs. I'm going to tip into the mindset part a bit because one, what we didn't like as a kid or a younger person, somehow our palate changes over time very often for different foods. So a food that we thought was too strong of a flavor, we may not feel that way anymore. So a good question is, when's the last time you had it?
That's a great question. When was the last time you had it?
And when was the last time you had it? And why didn't you like it? Are you willing to try it again? And so maybe you don't like it. Okay, next. But here's the big word, identity. We get stuck on an identity around things. And so we take on the identity, I don't like vegetables, or I don't like this or that. Well, that doesn't really serve us anymore. So what's a more empowered identity we can choose around vegetables? Like, I love eating things that make me feel better, that help me live longer, that make me more confident. That's a better identity that we can move towards over time around vegetables or meat, whatever that is.
It's beautiful. And I want to talk about your bars for a minute, because you told me one time that you're not a bar gal.
I wasn't a bar gal. Oh, can I say one thing about meat that I think is important? Protein. Prep your protein. If you don't prep anything else, I'm not a big prepper. I don't really like prepping.
I'm not either.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's why I like frozen vegetables, because I don't have to think. However, you get way ahead when you bake up your chicken breasts on Sunday, or your chicken thighs, or 2 pounds of ground turkey or hamburger, and you put it in a container and it's in the fridge. I'm all about not thinking, because we have so many decisions to make every day, all day. By the time you get to lunch or the time you get to dinner, we have such decision fatigue, which is a real phenomenon. That's when we reach for things that we maybe think, oh, I could have had something else instead of that. So that is one of my biggest hacks, is I prep that protein on Sunday. So some days I just reach in the container and you might see me walking to my office with, you know, eating a chicken breast cold out of the refrigerator, but it makes it easy. So I just wanted to say that.
I think that's so great. And I think that also goes back to the identity piece of, maybe for years you've been someone like, well, I don't prep at all. Like that's, I tried that one time in the past and it was so involved and took so much work and I had to give it up because it was too obsessive. It's like, well, maybe we could do it a little differently and just do the chicken breasts or just do the turkey. And that alone could be a game changer.
And for your family, makes it easy for your family. My biggest issue, my youngest son is home now and he eats all my prep. I'm like, dude, don't eat my chicken.
That's great.
Get out of my chicken. I make more now.
Hey, friend, you already know that every week I try to shower you with as much value and trustworthy information about your body as I possibly can, all for free. And the only thing I ask in return is if you just take a minute to share this episode or the whole podcast with a friend, tell them how valuable this show has been to you. That would seriously mean the world to me. So your bars are fantastic. And I told you one time that I'm not a huge fan of bars. And you said the same thing back to me. You're like, you're right. I never liked bars either. But you designed and developed a nutritional bar. Tell me why this and what was part of your process of, okay, I'm not a fan of bars, but I'm going to make sure my bar has this in it.
Well, if you haven't figured me out yet, you know, I like to keep things like you simplified. I'm always looking. One of my favorite books of all time is The One Thing. And if you've never read it, I highly recommend it because especially as women, busy women, raising kids, parents, work, blah, blah, blah. You know, we do so much. And so if we really can focus on the 20% that makes all the difference and let the 80% go that usually we don't need to do, then we can make our lives easier and more joyful. And that's how I landed on the bar, because for me, managing my nutrition, managing weight gain, I needed a simplified approach, kind of like prepping chicken on Sunday, you know, same thing. So I'm an advocate of whole food. You can hear I eat a lot of vegetables and real food, but I also know that there's so many times when we can't do that, when I can't do that. So I started making these bars, these little gross little ball things I started making when I first started, you know, because I was trying to get nutrients so I could skip those sweets and have something better for myself. That's how the bar thing evolved. But then, you know, realizing going beyond what I could make in my kitchen and going deeper in the research, maca to help balance my blood sugar and help with my hormones over time, and a certain amount of fiber that I would have to eat so many vegetables when I could get 25 or 32% of my daily fiber in this small thing. And then plant-based protein as well, because I know what we just talked about, you know, having that protein is so important. And the blend of that really helped my perimenopausal transition as I was getting to the end of it. So that's why it became important. Going back to decision fatigue, Megan, we need to have these simplified tools. The bar is a tool that tastes yummy too, to achieve our goals in a way that fits who we are at this stage in our lives.
I appreciate that so much. And I love your perspective on it, because as women, we get to this place of like, I'm supposed to only ever eat whole foods. And if I don't have that available to me, then I'm not going to eat at all.
Or I'm going to eat something yucky.
Or drive through Starbucks and get a Frappuccino or something. And our nutrition is like, it's not an on-off switch. It's like a dial. Like, you're probably going to have some days where you're at home and you can cook all your meals and you can have all the protein and the plenty of produce with every single meal. There might be some days where you're rushing in the car and all you can do is grab a bar. And to have a good one at your fingertips is really helpful. So we appreciate this.
You're so welcome. I mean, to be honest, I made it for myself first, right? So I'm not going to give myself anything yucky. There's no preservatives. You know, we sweeten them with dates or a little bit of chocolate chips in some of the flavors. So they're just kind of an extremely condensed whole food. So there's nothing artificial or not good for you in the bar. But, you know, I wanted to have that. And then for my friends, and then they're the ones like, you need to share this. You know, you need to make this for other women. And because if we're at working from home, we're on Zoom after Zoom, no time to eat lunch. That's when we grab a candy bar or something, you know, in your desk. That's not good. In the car. So I always think these are like places, yes, in the gym, yes, at home, but at your desk, in the car. Don't leave home without them. Definitely don't get on an airplane without a Manuel bar.
Well, as we're wrapping up, Julie, based on your experience and going through perimenopause and now being postmenopausal, what would you like women, specifically maybe in perimenopause, to really know about nutrition? Like, what's the one big takeaway that you would really want them to remember today?
I want every perimenopausal woman to educate herself about perimenopause. So go to menopause.org. Go to letstalkmenopause.org. I'm on their advisory board, either of those organizations, and educate yourself, because your doctor doesn't know. Most doctors, the doctor that you get your pap smear from, the doctor that delivered your baby, probably can't help you with menopause. And so you don't need to feel alone in perimenopause. So educate yourself. And there's plenty of telemed companies out there now that can help you, that specialize in perimenopause. So that's what I will say first. Now, going to nutrition, it's a beautiful time, perimenopause. And stay with me here. I know you want to kill somebody, but it's a beautiful time. And your body is calling you back to itself. As we have taken care of other people for so many years, all of the 34, now they're saying 68, but core 34 symptoms are calling you back to eat better so you can feel better. Take the time to figure out, what are the whole foods that you love? What are the vegetables you love? And when you eat vegetables, you get fiber. And when you eat fiber along with protein that you love, you're going to stay full. Your gut is going to be supported, which is going to support your brain. You're less likely to choose things that are not going to make you feel good. And it's just, take that time. Take the time to figure out the proteins and the complex carbs that you love. Just Megan's pros. Take time to figure out the pros you love, because I guarantee they're out there. And just eat them over and over most of the time. Keep it simple, sis. That's what I say. And you'll feel so much better. And then when you, you know, if you can't have a Manuel bar stuck in some bag in your car as an excellent defense, or just eat them because you like them too.
I love that. Well, Julie, you are a gem, and we are so appreciative of you being with us today and all of your wonderful wisdom that you bring to the table always. So thank you so much for being with us.
Me too.